As he joins us every week, and or every week rather, the original hot seater, Minister of Economy, Jobs, and Innovation, Doug Schweitzer, also our baseball analyst as well. And Doug, let's start with this right away, because for the first time since 2013, no one on the Hall of Fame ballot. We're not going to have any inductees this year. I'm not surprised, but yet I am surprised. What are your thoughts on that?
You know what? Roger Clemens and Barry Bonds both deserve to be in the Hall of Fame. They're the two best players of their generation. It was the steroid era. A lot of people were juicing. And you know what? They were still the best of the best. And I think both of them belong in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, and you know what? And on the ballot next year, A-Rod and Pappy. Now, a lot of people love David Ortiz and expect him to get into the Hall of Fame, but regardless of the steroid scandal, the accomplishments that Alex Rodriguez did, steroids are steroids, but you also have to have some unbelievable ability and commitment to be able to excel at that level.
Well, I think that A-Rod might get into the Hall of Fame because he's done the whole J-Lo, revamped his image, he seems like the good guy again. So we'll wait and see. He might be the one that actually kind of breaks the mold, gets some of the steroid era people into the Hall of Fame. And then I can see like kind of the senior statesmen that review Hall of Fame applications later, bringing them in afterwards. Because the press gallery is not going to let some of them in. But I do think that the Veterans Committee can take a look at it and bring some folks like Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens into the Hall of Fame. They belong there. They simply were the best of their era.
And Curt Schilling making a very interesting statement saying, you know what, take me off the ballot because this is all political, this is whatnot. And I guess I kind of understand one point where he's getting at, in that the Veterans Committee probably knows more about baseball and who belongs there than I would say the media would. And you know what, I understand his statement on that too, but I think with maybe 1 year left and they're not taking him off the ballot, he certainly didn't do himself any favors if he hopes to get in.
Well, it seems like there's a tale of two different approaches. You've got A-Rod is out there kind of high-fiving people. He's positive. He's trying to rehabilitate his image. And Curt Schilling just doesn't care. He's just like out there, you know, like he's controversial all the time with political views. And you know what? I don't think that's really what the media is looking for to bring in a Hall of Famer. I think he would have otherwise been there on his own merits, but he's just so controversial.
No doubt. I mean, he has appeared in four different World Series, won three of them. So his accomplishments are there. But yeah, then again, there was one thing that the Hall of Fame likes, and they prefer nice guys. That's for sure. So
it never hurts.
No, it never hurts. It never hurts. That's one reason why Albert Bell. I guess if you're chasing down children who you refuse to give candy to on trick or treat with an SUV, you're probably not a humanitarian. So
I don't think Albert Bell's getting the character awards. I don't think he is.
No, definitely not. Definitely not. Okay, Minister. Now, obviously, one of the things that we were talking about last week, and you know we were talking about this towards the end of last year, the Fraggle Rock reboot that's coming back, like, you know, from when you and I would have been kids in the Henson, Jim Henson days, and now a reboot's being done, and it's being done in Calgary. This has to be exciting.
Well, you know what? We're seeing huge momentum around the film industry in Alberta. This year, they're actually saying this is going to be their busiest year in over two decades. About $400 million of productions are potentially on the books for the province of Alberta. And the best part about it is that their television series, if you have a series, it's year over year. You hope that they get renewed and they come back. And then you get a stable workforce and a stable working environment. When you get like the big Hollywood, kind of movie productions, they're huge and they're good, but they're short term. So when you get these series into your economy, it's actually a really good initiative. We've been focusing on that, working with all the different studios from Warner Brothers to Netflix, to Amazon, Apple, all the different ones that are out there to try and see if we can get these series coming to Alberta. We've got five of them now in our province. Fraggle Rock is the newest one, and we're hoping to maybe add two or three more this year, which would be a historic level of television series in our province.
Are any of them reboots, any sort of like series that you and I would remember that you could tell us about, or too soon for that?
One of them could potentially be considered in that category. We're hoping that we can land it. It would be probably the biggest production ever done in Alberta. We're hoping to, but it's not to the goal line yet.
No, fair enough, fair enough. And I guess also as well, we know that the frustration does continue. I mean, the last time we did chat, that was just as President Biden was getting inaugurated, and then within the first few actions, he signed the executive order that we did expect him to sign, and that's immediately, from what I understand, that's 1,000 jobs gone on that Wednesday from that signature alone. Obviously a frustrating situation. We know that the premier's called for the federal government to step up. Do you think there's any hope or any way that this could be salvaged?
You know what? We're going to continue to advocate, see what we can do to get this done. It's so frustrating to see these jobs lost. I mean, Keystone XL makes so much sense. Pipelines are just the safest way to transport energy, like oil and gas. And it's just simply just so frustrating. We're going to continue to see what we can do. You got other premiers advocating for the federal government to do more. Again, this does fall on the shoulders of the President of the United States. Biden has been clear as to what his views are on this. I'm not convinced he's going to change his mind. But that being said, we're going to do everything we can to see if we can still get this project built. But that, it's an uphill battle. We will explore other legal options, whether or not it's through trade agreements like the NAFTA 2.0 that we have, or other things to see if we can recoup costs as well if it doesn't go ahead. But again, just deeply frustrating for all Albertans.
I know one of the things that we were chatting about last year, that's the A2A, Alberta-Alaska Railway, that the former U.S. president did put a permit on. Has there been any indication that the current president would cancel that as well?
We don't have any line of sight from the current president on it. That one there, that project is still very much in early stage development. I know there's been a lot of folks in the Peace Country for years have been advocating for that rail to Alaska. We're doing some homework on that project right now. MLA Shane Getson has been tasked to work with me and our Minister of Transportation, Rick McIver, on assessing the viability of rail, including the A2A. So we're doing our homework on it. Pretty early stages on that one, but we need to see if it's real and tangible.
Now, a few years ago, according to the Canadian Federation of Independent Businesses, Alberta was receiving borderline grades on red tape reduction, and today, a very positive announcement on red tape reduction. I know it's not necessarily your ministry per se, but in saying that, though, I know it's the government as a whole, whether it's the Justice Ministry or the Jobs Economy Ministry, Health Ministry, any ministry. How important was it for this government to be able to get to that level where you've cut down that red tape? And is this more than what you expected, or less, or where you hoped you'd be with that?
Well, we dedicated to Albertans to make sure that we had the most efficient government humanly possible. So we reduced red tape by a third. That's our goal, so we reduced red tape by a third. And in less than 2 years, we have gone from a failing grade. So under the NDP, we had the worst record in the whole country to getting an A. So now we're at the top of the pack. The Canadian Federation of Independent Business has, kind of validated the efforts that we've been making as a government, and it's working. And just in the first year alone, we saved businesses almost $500 million, so almost $500 million in savings in operating costs in Alberta. So it's a huge endeavor. It's one of our big planks and part of the recovery is making sure Alberta is the most efficient place to do business.
And in doing that, though, too, I remember you mentioned a goal by a third. Is there plans to exceed that goal or stop where you are? Or?
Oh, you know what? This is a 4-year strategy for us, but you never stop. You never stop trying to innovate, trying to become more efficient. For example, like we still used fax machines in our courthouse in Alberta. So eliminating the fax machine, getting things online, getting more streamlined in our processes is just critical. And it goes from every department, from children's services all the way to the energy department, making sure that our government is streamlined and efficient.
I don't think I've used the fax since the not last decade, but the decade before that. I may have. If I do, I don't remember it.
I'm pretty sure you could take a fax machine and bring it to an elementary school, and kids would probably poke at it, not sure what it is.
They thought you might be like, turn around, don't pet it the wrong way, it might bite you. You never know. You never know.
When you think about it, though, like we literally have buildings that, like in our courthouses, where there's weight restrictions because of so much paper. Because our system is all paper-driven when it doesn't necessarily need to be. And they actually limit what they can put on floors because there's just so much weight. So it goes to how you construct your buildings, more efficiency, everything that we do. And we just have to make sure we modernize our government. It's just critical.
No doubt about that. And one of the things I know that we had her on earlier today, Kathleen Gangley, your former critic in the Justice Department, now energy critic, and one of the things that she'd been calling for is a review into Keystone XL waiving cabinet privilege. And I understand that there's some certain reasons that, like, at least in terms of like cabinet privilege and, client privilege, things like that, certain things can't be revealed. But at the end of the day, like, really, what more is there to say that hasn't already been said about it?
But you know what? It's so funny when I hear that from the NDP. That's the pot meets the kettle. It's just so funny when you look at this, because when we ask for details around the rail contract, the controversial rail contract that lost us billions of dollars, was never economically viable. Did they disclose that? Did they waive privilege? No. Now here they are in the typical hypocritical fashion of the NDP, demanding something that they wouldn't provide. So you know what, take it with a grain of salt. We've been transparent throughout this whole thing. We've told Albertans what the numbers are, what the risks are. We're assessing options right now to reduce and mitigate any damages or any losses that we may have from this project being canceled. We're looking at legal options to recoup costs. So again, I think this is just typical NDP, you know, kind of hypocrisy.
I also saw this one too, and last one before we get into a couple more baseball ones is now, this is one where Elon Musk, I saw you had retweeted it, was offering something like millions and millions of dollars to somebody who could come up with a good carbon capture storage, and right off the bat I saw you had tweeted out and said, come on Alberta, let's get on this, tapping into that, as we say, human capital that we have here, hopefully.
Well, that was just, you know, typical Elon Musk. I mean, I think he's the richest person in the world now, but he's even putting $100 million up for the best carbon capture project. And Alberta had one of the first, if not the first, carbon capture project done by Shell back in the day. So we have that intellectual horsepower here in Alberta, and it'd be really just amazing if one of our Alberta companies and some of our innovators here could win that project.
That should be very interesting. Now, Doug, going back, I guess, on the baseball thing, one thing that we did see yesterday, the Michael Brantley signing didn't work out. And, you know, credit to him, because he says, I have some unfinished business there in Houston. And he went there when it was a really unpopular thing to do. So yeah. I guess I kind of give him credit for riding that out and being committed to the cause. But in saying that, though, the Jays come up with Marcus Semien, known more as a shortstop. And my biggest concern of that is that Bo Bichette has made it very clear that he wants to be a shortstop. So that great bat. I'm not complaining about the bat, but this could create a very much a jam in the infield. What do you think?
Well, when I look at that, though, I mean, who's going to be playing third base? Like, I think that Vladdy Guerrero, I don't think he's going to be playing third base now with this additional glove that they've added. But
no.
I think between Biggio, Bichette, and the new addition here, I mean, they're going to have a pretty solid, you know, kind of middle and right side, sorry, left side of the infield. Like, they're going to have a pretty solid defensive infield. So I think it's smart. You always have somebody always gets injured at some point in time, so having good coverage is never a bad thing as well.
Yeah, fair enough. And also as well, I guess we see that one of the things Shapiro and Atkins had made clear, they said in this morning or yesterday that the heavy lifting is done in terms of bringing in big names. So I guess that would mean that Trevor Bauer is likely ruled out. Can't see him accepting a what they'd like to call a creative deal to play. He wants a max one, which he should get. And in saying that now, where do you think he ends up? Because Toronto sounds like it's off the list now.
You know what? I'm hoping that Bauer ends up with the Angels now. So that would give Mike Trout a chance to make the playoffs. I'm hoping he ends up with the Angels.
I would think that too, but you never know. As San Diego, they've been really aggressive this offseason, and he's been linked to them as well. Now, if they get him, I think that could be the division winner, don't you think?
Well, you know what? Another team that has the money would be the Dodgers. Can you imagine if the Dodgers picked them up? I think that would be a good addition.
That would be an addition. Also, another team that could really use them right now is, given their pitching as well, that I haven't heard their name mentioned at all, is the Yankees. They really need pitching, and they could use another guy like him, you know, to back up Gerrit Cole, maybe get into that thing in the division. But as of right now, that AL East looks wide open, doesn't it?
It really does right now. It looks completely wide open. But could you imagine back in the day playing the old UCLA baseball team when they had Gerrit Cole and Trevor Bauer as starters for their team? Like, this is college baseball, and they had Trevor Bauer and Gerrit Cole for 3 years at UCLA. Just they were the number 1-2 punch for that team. I think they were picked number 1 and number 3 overall in the draft. Like, what has been an amazing college team to see.
No doubt. That's a dynasty, and I'm sure those jerseys will go up in some college hall of fame somewhere. Minister, we always appreciate the time. Thanks for checking in with us.
My pleasure.
This is Doug Schweitzer. He is the Minister of Jobs, Economy, and Innovation, and also our baseball insider, and this is another edition of The Hot Seat.